From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As a national conversation about racist police brutality continues, with a trial of Derek Chauvin for the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, the sordid history of police violence against Black Americans is perhaps most shockingly symbolized by the Philadelphia Police Department's relentless assaults on the MOVE organization in the 1970s and 80s. To this day, most Americans have likely not heard of the only aerial police bombing on U.S. soil when Philadelphia police dropped a bomb on top of a house inhabited by the members of MOVE in a predominantly Black neighborhood in 1985. 11 people were killed, among them 5 children. The horrific bombing came after years of police targeting and violence captured in a 1978 documentary called MOVE: Confrontation in Philadelphia. The film is an astounding award-winning account of one of many assaults on MOVE. It was shot on the ground during the August 8, 1978 siege of the MOVE home in Powelton Village by police, which first-time filmmakers Karen Palmer and Jane Mancini risked their lives to record. Footage from the film has been included in more recent documentaries about MOVE, such as 40 Years a Prisoner and Let the Fire Burn. MOVE: Confrontation in Philadelphia is about to be released for the first time in its entirety online in a newly digitized format. I'm very honored to be joined now by Janine Africa, the MOVE 9 survivor of the 1978 police assault on MOVE, who spent 40 years in prison, and Ramona Africa, the sole adult survivor of the 1985 police bombing of MOVE. She spent 7 years in prison. Welcome to the program, Janine and Ramona. Thank you so much for joining us. So the 1985 bombing, even if people have had heard of that, doesn't quite capture all of the years of assaults, attacks, targeting, etc., that went before. In 1978, this documentary, MOVE: Confrontation in Philadelphia, showcased everything that came before. And I'm wondering, Janine, if we can start with you to give us a sense of how then Philadelphia Mayor Frank Rizzo set the stage and pushed this racist narrative that formed the basis of police violence against your family and your organization.
Rizzo was at his wit's end to get rid of MOVE and to stop John Africa. So he laid a platform by saying that we were dirty, violent, crazy, and that we were hurting our children, abusing our children. So that set the platform for them to once again attack MOVE, because, like as you said, since the MOVE organization Above Ground chapter surfaced in Philadelphia in the early 70s, we have been attacked by the police that was sent to attack us by the different politicians and activists that MOVE was confronting for being liars, because they said they were there to protect people and do things for people, and they weren't. And MOVE, John Africa, through MOVE, had us exposing these liars.
And he was the founder of MOVE.
Yes, John Africa is the founder of MOVE. And they, them politicians, didn't want to be exposed, so they started calling the police on us, and they put the police in between MOVE and them. So we had a history of unprovoked violence, you know, because according to their constitution, you have a right to peacefully demonstrate. And every time we would demonstrate in front of one of their politicians' office, they would call the police, and we have had, our men have had their arms broken, their heads busted, hit in their genitals with blackjacks and nightsticks. The women, as soon as they would find out that we were pregnant, they were beating us in the stomach. My sister Alberta was held down in the round Philadelphia roundhouse and kicked repeatedly in the vagina until she miscarried. These is the history. My sister Rhonda, she was 8 months pregnant. She was in the Philadelphia holding cell down City Hall. They slammed her belly first in the wooden furniture inside the holding cell. And when she was released, she had her baby like the day after, and the baby died with bruises all over his body. My three-week-old son, Life Africa, had his head crushed when we were greeting our family members home from prison, and the police came up and said they had a report that there was a fight. When it was told to them it wasn't a fight, it was just us greeting our families home from prison, police came from out of nowhere, attacked, and to get to my husband, Phil Africa, they threw me down and just stomped over me to get to him, and the baby's head got crushed. They tried to say that there was no baby, but the neighbors all came out and said there was a baby and he was healthy. And my family sent me away and brought in city councilmen and clergymen and news reporters to show them the body of the baby and his injuries. And so they had to admit to that. So what they did was they just dropped all the charges against all the MOVE people that was arrested that night. And when we said, what about the police responsible for the murder of the baby? They said, unless we turned the baby's body over, they could not do anything using pictures. Meanwhile, we were convicted of third-degree murder and given 30 to 100 years in prison.
That's right. You were one of nine people convicted and sentenced over the alleged murder of one police officer. And you've only been released or been free for a few years, I understand.
Yeah, the MOVE 9 did 41 years in prison. We got out in 2019. And to this day, the judge that sentenced us admitted, Mumia Abu-Jamal made him admit that he didn't know who killed the cop. But since we said we're family, he was going to oblige us, give us a family sentence. And he gave us 30 to 100 years each in prison. And he thought that was a joke.
But I want to play for our audience a clip from the documentary MOVE Confrontation in Philadelphia before we turn to our next guest, Ramona Africa. This documentary is going to be released for the first time in its entirety online. It was made in 1978. And after you watch this clip, which is actually not the newly digitized version that's going to be released, we'll tell you where you can watch it online. And in this clip, you'll see Janine Africa.
The police will be in there to drag them out by the backs of their necks.
There will be a confrontation this time.
There will be no.
I don't know. It's up to them whether no barricades, Mike. They're going to be taken by force if they resist. No question about that. Children or not.
When they come in, though, and they say they're going to arrest you, they start taking you outside. What are you doing that kid?
It was necessary, man.
Which means what?
Strategy of John Africa.
Which means what?
What's right.
Which means what?
Strategy of John Africa.
Okay. Do you cite the strategy of John Africa, or do you actually do something?
The strategy of John Africa is a strategy that is right. A strategy that kept every last one of us alive last year during this whole confrontation.
But they didn't come in to get you last year.
They did, so. You said, what do you call a blockade? What do you call a blockade where they cut off our food and water? What do you call 100 cops marching down the street to our very gate with a little truck to pull down our fence? If that ain't coming in to get us, what do you call it? Do you have that around your house?
What you think they've been doing for 7 years, man, playing chess with us, man?
That's a clip of the documentary MOVE Confrontation in Philadelphia. The documentary was filmed in was released originally in 1980. It was filmed in the late 70s. And you just heard from and saw my guest, Janine Africa. With me also is Ramona Africa, who is the sole adult survivor of the bombing of the MOVE house in Philadelphia that took place 5 years after this film was released. Ramona, you've also served 7 years in prison. I'm wondering if you can put for our audience into perspective in the conversations we're seeing today around racist police violence, what happened 40 years ago with MOVE in an incident that still isn't known enough. It should be in our history books, but it isn't.
Well,
yeah. I just want to say first and foremost that the bombing of MOVE was a result, a precursor to the 1978 police attack on MOVE. The officials, the police were so messed up and angry that they didn't kill anybody in 1978, that when they came back 7 years later, they were determined to kill MOVE people. And the way they thought they could do that is by dropping a bomb. I just want to say also, this was not an accident or things going awry. This was a deliberate attack on MOVE, a bombing of MOVE. I want to say there were police in the houses across the street from us. And while our house was fully engulfed in flames, you could hear the cops in the windows across the street laughing and saying, well, that's the last time they'll call the commissioner a MF, and laughing, you know? So we know this was deliberate. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't things getting out of control or awry. And I want to say Wilson Good himself, when questioned later on that day, after he knew that 11 people were murdered in that fire, he was asked, you know, a question, and he responded that he would do it again. Now, that's not an accident. He knew it wasn't an accident. He said he would do it again. That's all we need to know.
Right. The documentary MOVE Confrontation in Philadelphia, as I mentioned, was originally released in 1980, and it will be re-released online, actually released online for the first time, but re-released in general, starting on Wednesday, March 24th at metrograph.com, which is where you can watch it online, metrograph.com. You can sign up to watch the documentary, and it will also be available on demand March 25th through 29th. We'll post a link to all of that information from our website, risingupwithsonali.com, for you to find out about it. Now, let me ask you, going back to you, Janine, this documentary, which is such an important glimpse into that history, it's only 40 years ago that all of this happened. It feels as though there has really not been justice done for what the Philadelphia police did. Today, you hear people say Black Lives Matter, even corporations and politicians saying that, but has there been justice for the killings, the framings, you know, the imprisonments? You lost 40 years of your life behind bars.
There will never be anything that this city can do to compensate us for what they have taken from us. I have lost 2 children to the hands of these officials, Philadelphia officials. The one, like I said, my 3-week-old son, Life Africa, whose head was crushed by police, and my other son, Phil Africa, who was in the house May 13th. Not only my children, but those were my little sisters and brothers in there, Tommaso, Teresa, Netta. Those were, I was close to those kids. I love those kids, and all my family members in there, and they're saying John Africa was in there. So what can they give me to compensate for what they have done to me? What can they give me to compensate for those 41 years they took from me, knowing we were innocent? They know that MOVE didn't shoot that cop. They knew that he was shot in the back of the head and the bullet traveled down. He was facing MOVE. We were in the basement. So how could we have shot him? 9 people for the shooting of 1 cop with 1 bullet from 1 gun. 41 years. They can't give none of that back to me. Now, at one point, the people pushed the city to apologize to MOVE. They never formally apologized to any MOVE member. They just made a public statement. But what we're saying is, we don't want words. We don't want an apology. They can't do anything for us now, but if they want to show us that they are sincere about rectifying the past and trying to show that that kind of thing will never happen again, we're saying release our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal, because he is in prison because at the time he was the only journalist that would report the truth about the 78 attack on MOVE, about the trial of the system versus John Africa. He was the only journalist. He lost everything because he refused to back down. And to the point where when he wouldn't back down and he called into that radio program and had the judge, Judge Malman, admit that he didn't know who killed James Ramp, he was shot down in the streets. They tried to murder him after that show. So Mumia is in prison because he was committed to getting the truth out about Moose. So we are committed to trying to get him out of that prison.
And in fact, I want to play an excerpt of a commentary that Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is often featured on our program, recorded a year ago, just under a year ago, on the occasion of the 35th anniversary of the bombing of the MOVE house. And then we'll talk a little bit more about his current situation.
In memory of May 13th, in a matter of hours, the calendar will ring in May 13th, and it will mark the 35th year since the massacre on Mother's Day, 1985, when police, armed with military weapons, bombed the house in southwest Philadelphia, known by neighbors as the MOVE house. In the smoldering embers of the aftermath, 11 men, women, and children would be dead, martyrs of the MOVE organization. The only person to be criminally prosecuted for this catastrophe would be Ramona Africa, who barely escaped dying in the house, her arms permanently scarred by the red tongues of fire that bit her as she left the building, only to enter prison for the next 7 years. The bombers, the cops, they got pay raises, promotions, and pensions for bombing a home and the burning of over 60 houses.
And that is the voice of Mumia Abu-Jamal last May, ahead of the 35th anniversary of the bombing of the MOVE house in Philadelphia. Ramona Africa, can you, he was just mentioning you and your role and what ended up happening to you. Tell us what has happened to Mumia, who remains in prison, known as one of the top political prisoners in the country today. He's an award-winning journalist, and he right now is fighting for his life.
Yes, you're right. Mumia is said to have COVID-19. You know, he was diagnosed some time ago with diabetes. He almost went into diabetic shock. And if it wasn't for another inmate, you know, going to the warden and saying, you know, what are you going to do about Mumia Abu-Jamal? And they told him, mind your business. And he said, Mumia is my business. So people are in Mumia's corner. You know, we are in Mumia's corner. The MOVE organization will never abandon Mumia.
I understand that he is also struggling with congestive heart failure.
Absolutely. I mean, he has a number of health problems that we know he wouldn't have if he had been on the street living, you know, the way he chose. But being in prison all these years, like 39 years, you know, you can't help but be sick staying in prison all of those years. The only reason why my family, you know, the MOVE 9 came out of prison healthy is because of John Africa. And even with that, they denied our brother Delbert Africa, you know, the correct medical attention that he needed and deserved. And he died shortly after coming home.
The thing is, we need people to understand that Mumia's condition is not a coincidence, an accident. The political prisoners, the people that they see as the outstanding soldiers in this cause, have all been targeted. My sister, Merle Africa, under suspicious conditions, died in 1995. My husband, Phil Africa, under suspicious conditions, died in 2015. Chucky Africa, he's still living, but barely. contracted what they were saying, some type of cancer in prison. Delbert, after, as Mona said, got some kind of cancer in prison. But when he came out here, the doctors on the outside were appalled at the neglect that he received at the hands of the medical department in Dallas prison. And the doctors were saying they didn't understand why they didn't give him certain things and why they gave him the things they did, because they were using that as an opportunity to kill Delbert. They did not want him out alive, so they did all they could to make sure that he did not live. And they're doing the same thing with Mumia. Mumia was diagnosed with Hep C. They refused to treat him, they said, until his organs shut down. So now he has sclerosis of the liver because they neglected to treat him. And now all of these other problems is coming as a result of that.
Let me ask you about his current situation and why he remains imprisoned. Philadelphia elected a progressive DA, Larry Krasner. Among the demands that activists have been making of Krasner for several years now is that he ensure that Mumia either gets a fair trial or is released for time served. And those calls have gotten more urgent as Mumia suffers, is trying to recover from COVID. Why has Krasner not released him yet?
Because of pressure. This is something people don't understand. When it comes to move to John Africa, John Africa said this system will break all its laws in its attempt to stop move. And Mumia, they really want to stop him because he was seen and still is seen as the voice of the voiceless. And before Mumia got shot, he had so much influence. People listened to him and they were so afraid that he would influence people to listen to John Africa that they were desperate to stop him. And that's why they're desperate now. They do not want Mumia out of prison because they feel like he will have such a huge influence on the world. And they don't want people to focus on John Africa, on MOVE. And they know that Mumia will take people there. So they are so desperate to stop him. They hate Mumia. And Krasner, to get in office, he made promises that he knew he couldn't keep, but he wanted to get in that office. Now that he's in office, to stay in office, he has to bend to the authority over him. And the authority over him is saying that Mumia is not to get out of prison. The FOP and Maureen Faulkner have already—
The Fraternal Order of Police.
Right, which is the nation's most influential police union.
Exactly. They have made it clear that they want Mumia to die in prison. And that is who is pushing Krasner. So, you know, he made promises that he knew he could not keep. The same way with Wilson Good, when he was city managing director, our family met with them about investigating the MOVE 9 case. That's all they asked for, was a fair investigation into our case. Wilson Good told our family, "I know your family was railroaded. When I become mayor, that's the first thing I'm gonna do is put an investigation into their case, open things up so they can have a fair trial." He became mayor and he caved in to the pressure and allowed the FBI to give them that bomb and to drop it on our family. And Krasner is being no different than Wilson Good. Everybody put their hopes in Wilson Good because he was the first Black mayor of Philadelphia, and they thought that just like Krasner, he would make a difference. And now people were thinking the same way about Krasner because he calls himself progressive and, you know, supposed to be for the people. People put a lot of stock in him. But just like Wilson Good, when it comes to MOVE, he falls off the job. He can't do it. And that's what's happening. And people have to understand that.
Well, I want to thank the two of you so much for joining us today. We'll post again the link to where people can RSVP to watch the re-release of the documentary we were discussing earlier, MOVE Confrontation in Philadelphia, or they can check it out directly at metrograph.com. It's going to be screening on Wednesday, March 24th from 2 at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern, but it will also be on demand from the 25th through the 29th. Janine, Ramona, thank you both so much for joining me. Good luck to you.
Thank you. On a move.
My guests have been Janine Africa, who is a MOVE 9 survivor of the 1978 police assault on MOVE. She spent 40 years in prison and was released in 2019. Ramona Africa, the sole adult survivor of the 1985 police bombing of MOVE. She spent 7 years in prison. The documentary MOVE Confrontation in Philadelphia was made in the late 70s, released in 1980 by two first-time filmmakers, Karen Palmer and Jane Mancini, who risked their lives to make that documentary. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can also find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you both so much.